You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
There's this really crazy superpower that teaching brings in understanding your own frameworks. You're going to turn back around and have all these other epiphanies, and it'll get even clearer and clearer, and you'll teach simpler and simpler, and your framework becomes easier and easier for people to apply. And the easier it is for someone to apply it, the more the success rate is in the back, and then the more it gets sold.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
All right, what's up, Sales Funnel Radio? I just got my truck. I'm driving over to Russell Brunson's and to his office, and we're going to plan out this book. Because Funnel Hacking Live is in 2 weeks from the time that we're recording this, we're first actually going to like make sure that we have the FHL speech category figured out, and then we're going to go think through how we can push more into the book that way. So I'm really excited about this. So here's my point. I'm driving over there right now, and I love what is about to happen. There's like this really powerful principle that's about to happen, and it's one of my favorite things anytime I go create, and I don't know, wanted to share it with you. I love that when you are about to go create, like anytime I'd go do speeches or I go put together, like, I mean, anything, it's never out of thin air. It's always off the basis of what already exists. And I think that's a powerful thing to remember and realize. It's not like if you envision yourself being down the road, you know, and say you're, you know, successful and get the business and, you know, whatever that is, it doesn't just poof out of thin air. It's because you literally built the exact steps on the way towards it. And it's a concept that I'm reminded of every time I start preparing for a speech, or, you know, specifically speeches, certainly while, you know, we are starting to move forward on this book. It's like that same thing is happening. And that's why I bring it up. The last like hour and a half, 2 hours I've spent, I got up early and I've just been working more and more on this outline for speech and book, I guess. And it's been cool because I just keep getting reminded of that. And that was something that Russell said. He's like, get ready when you start writing books to have the amount of epiphanies that you have like explode, because you're going to go teach again. And so there's this really crazy superpower that teaching brings in understanding your own frameworks. Not only, you know, are you going to go help people with it and try and collapse time, which I think is the purpose of all frameworks. Right, you go collapse time. It's awesome. Make things easier for them. But you're also going to, you're going to turn back around and have all these other epiphanies, and it'll get even clearer and clearer, and you'll teach simpler and simpler, and your framework becomes easier and easier for people to apply. And the easier it is for someone to apply it, the more the success rate is in the back, and then the more it gets sold, right? And spread around. And so this whole idea, I think, is so powerful because you're able to, I don't know, I had this thought, I was like, man, I got to be like a genius in order to go make these principles, these thought patterns that, like, I mean, how interesting is it that we all quote Red Ocean, Blue Ocean? That was some dude, right? I can't remember how to say his name. That was some guy who just was like, here's how to teach this principle. And he made it an imagery thing. And we all have that drawn and sketched out in our head, right? Like, I guarantee there's a picture that popped up in here. Like, think of how simple that framework has become and how spreadable it's become because of that we can apply it, right? One of my favorite quotes is, perfection is not achieved when there is more to add, but when there's nothing more to take away. Simplicity. I can't remember who said that, and I might have botched it a little bit, but that's the concept, meaning simplicity, keep it all simple. And I think that's what you gain. It's not to say that these epiphanies that you have while creating from what you already have, it's not that they pop out of thin air and it's adding more necessarily, although that happens. But usually it's more in terms of less. Simplicity. You're cutting things out. I remember my first OfferMind event. I literally prepared for 3 straight weeks for those slides. It took me 3 weeks to make my slides. Holy smokes. And I still didn't finish. I didn't realize how much work goes into creating a solid presentation. And that's, well, I did realize. I was the only speaker for 2 days and I didn't know how to do events back then. That was really good. So I went and I had to speak for 2 straight days, which I've done so many times, but I just didn't realize how much it was. So I remember during that first event, I had to go and I actually finished my slides backstage before literally walking on stage to go do them. So what's powerful with this whole concept is when you're beginning to prepare all these slides, right? All these pieces, all the frameworks, you're coming from this place of, I don't know, teaching and being taught. And it comes out in this way where you are stair-stepping piece by piece, bit by bit, the whole way through. You really don't just like one day wake up and you're like, oh man, I was, you know, not Spider-Man yesterday. Now I'm Spider-Man today in a one night transformation. It's like, that's not how it works. You know what I mean? And then you're not going to wake up and be like, oh crap, I'm Elon Musk. You know, wow. You know, and the same is true. You obviously have to build the whole way through. And obviously, you know, I'm not making light of everyone, of all that there. But the point is that it's piece by piece. And we're going to spend the next 3 hours together.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
And we're going to go put just our frameworks together. And there'll be clashes. There'll be things where it's like, well, what about this? Oh, because of this scenario and that scenario, this is true then, this is true there. You know what? Let's make this simpler here and do that. And this whole idea of having clay, right? That you are taking the clay and working the clay, and then you rework the clay and you're like, oh, I don't need that much clay. And it's prettier with more detail and is easier to use and move around when there's less clay. So I can take out this, take out this, take out this. And I remember, like I was saying before, like it took 3 weeks for me to do that first offer mine. And then the next offer mine event that I was going to go do, I thought that it was going to be shorter because I was like, well, I'll just review my slides prior and clean them up a little bit. That's not how it works. Like when you are teaching your framework and you're trying to make it more and more simple, it took me 2 weeks on that second offer mine, 2 weeks just to write the pitch. Holy smokes. Just 2 weeks just on the pitch. It was another week after that to shorten, clean up all the slides. I mean, the act of deletion is just as hard as creation and it takes just as much time. And especially if it's something that you're like, man, this is going to stand the test of time. This is part of my legacy. This is what I'm going to be known for. This is my gift to the market. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I think about it. It's going to bless tons of people. It's going to be epic. You know, format or versions of this will be used and talked about for all over the place. Like, I love that. That's one of my favorite. I believe that's one of the reasons I'm alive, man. but it takes a ton of work. So what I'm looking forward to is all of what I was just saying is the working through principles like they're clay and going back and forth on them. Like the first time I ever did that with Russell was with the first Expert Secrets book. And he started that probably like 3 months after I started working there. And it was so fun to go through the concepts back and forth. Like, what about this? Ooh, this before that. Ooh, I think it's this or over here, right? And to start kind of like, you're molding conceptually this thing into existence, which I know is not how all books are written, but gosh, that's a fun way to do it. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. It has been such an impactful process for me that it's actually been the way I have created just about every core framework ever. And so here's what it looks like. We probably were not going to do this today. But when a new framework is being birthed, I usually use like a legal pad, yellow pieces of paper. I'm sure people are going to be like, save the rainforest. But I take a piece of paper and I write on it a story or a principle or a quote or, you know, a piece of application. And I just brain dump. And I'll do that for days. And I literally put them on my floor and I'll stack them in all these different places. Like all the concepts, I start to group them together on my physical floor. And so there's been times where many months of my life, I've had to tiptoe sideways, dance across, you know, a little twinkle toes here and there, stepping through my own office because I can't see the floor that's covered in these yellow pieces of paper everywhere. And that part is so fun. Oh my gosh, it is so hard though. It takes a long time. It is mental jujitsu for sure to do that. And most of my frameworks have come out that way. And then what I do is I organize them by topic and then organize the stacks of yellow paper and I'll staple it. And that becomes the first version of my slides. And so what I'll do is like each page is a slide. And so I'm just flipping it over and making the slides. And obviously, guess what? I'm having epiphanies during that part. Ooh, it's better this way. Teach it that way. And I'm molding and shaping and pulling this thing around. These are like 3D models that I can spin around in my head. And, it's a really interesting documentary called Decoding Bill Gates' Brain, which Bill Gates, I don't know what man's pretty tainted for life, in my opinion. But, you know, regardless, he's got a really cool documentary about him. And one of the things that he says in there is how he builds these mental models and constructs in his brain. And I was watching this and I was like, that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. I can close my eyes and see all my frameworks and all my things. And part of the reason is because I've spent the amount of time that I have with them fighting my own framework, putting them out on the floor, lots of research, grabbing 40 books off the shelf that looks like it could answer the main question I'm asking, writing it on yellow pieces of paper, right? Then stacking them, stapling them together, making slides out of it. That's definitely a rinse and repeat process where I clean like crazy. Then I'm doing it in front of an audience. Then I'll go back and do it all again. Then I'll teach in a course and finally feel like I'm ready to go write a book. Like that's why I've not written a book yet. That's my process. And it is laborious. I know there's faster ways to write books. I don't care. I am farming framework. It is so much harder than just like step one, step two, step three. Legitimate framework that is going to be like blueprints for the test of time. Take work. So much of it. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I doubt that that's the depth we'll go through with it because we both have already done that type of work already. But to be able to start working on the speech and the book outline, like that's kind of what's happening at some level, and it'll be at various phases throughout. So anyway, first things first, though, we're going to go work on the slides. So I'm excited. It's been like several years since I've done this so I'm pumped for us. Bye.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.